2 on your Bible or device or whatever you're reading the scripture from this morning. Let me just remind you that service, there are life groups that meet tonight around the city. There's a service that meets right here at 6 o'clock tonight. We're walking through kind of a devotional study of Matthew. And we're in chapter 6 tonight, the last half of chapter 6, so I invite you to come back with us. One other bit of an announcement. Some of you who have been here a while remember Mark and Ernestine Calloway. And Ernestine went home to be with the Lord Thursday morning. So Ernestine Calloway's memorial service will be held tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Memorial Park Cemetery Chapel at 51st and Memorial. And so be in prayer for Mark, the Lord to be with him. They were married almost 68 years, long time, and lovely people. And so remember them in your prayers. Matthew 22, we continue our series looking at the king and his kingdom. We're examining the parables of the kingdom that Jesus told in Matthew's gospel in particular. These are the parables, the stories that begin with Jesus saying, so the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he gives us something of the nature and character of the king and his kingdom. And so this morning we're looking at Matthew 22, the parable that we call the parable of the wedding banquet. And by the way, there's other missionaries here this morning. Nice to see you as well. So all the rest of you, we're glad all of you are here today. But anyway, so Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He explains that the invited guest refused to come, so the king opens the invitation to become a citizen of He opens the invitation to everyone to come and be a part of this banquet. Everybody's invited, not just a certain group. And before we look with a little more detail at the parable in Matthew 22, I want to just give you a little bit of context from chapter 21. In Matthew 21, Jesus is engaged in a discussion about John the Baptist and basically says, John the Baptist came preaching repentance, preparing the way for the coming of the Messiah. And the religious leaders and everyone came to hear him. But then Jesus says, but you religious leaders, and he kind of calls them out there. He says, when you saw the prostitutes and the tax collectors were considered collaborators with the Roman government, so they were kind of excluded somehow. They were listed as notorious sinners that way. So he says, when you saw the prostitutes and the tax collectors and other sinners coming to John and repenting and being baptized, you turned away. It's like, oh, it's for those kind of people, not for us. So in their self-righteousness, they walked away from it. They should have been rejoicing that others were coming to faith and returning to their faith in the God of Israel. And they should have recognized it as a sign of the coming of the Messiah because good news was being preached to the poor and the outcast. But instead, they rejected the message and the messenger. John the Baptist refused him, refused the message, and refused then and rejected, in a sense, the invitation of the Heavenly Father to come to faith and repentance. And Jesus said this to them, I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you didn't repent and believe him. So out of pride or whatever it was, they reject the message of John the Baptist, the invitation of the Father to come and repent. But in his mercy, the Father sends Jesus, the Son, to extend that invitation again to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Jesus came preaching. And once again, they reject the message and the messenger. And to illustrate that, Jesus then tells them another parable, the parable of the tenants in Matthew 21. And the story is that there was a landowner, he plants a vineyard, fixes it up, rents it out, kind of like a sharecropper kind of deal. So these people that rent it, they're gonna grow, what do you grow in a vineyard? Grapes. And so they're going to do that, and then as payment for rent, they're going to give them part of the grape harvest. And so the owner sends servants to collect the rent, to collect the payment, and they beat them up, and they send more servants, and they kill some of them. And finally, the owner says, then I'll send my son, because I'm sure they'll respect my son. And when they see him, they say, let's kill him. He's the heir. And they kill the son. And Jesus is explaining to them, Israel's the vineyard. Isaiah 5 speaks of Israel as a vineyard that God has provided and planted, and he sends the prophets to call them to repentance and to help them to bear good fruit, but they beat and kill the prophets. Jesus says in Matthew 23, talking to these religious leaders, hey, you're the ones who killed the prophets and stoned those who are sent to you. And then out of mercy, God sends the Son, and now they're rejecting Jesus and his message and his call to repentance as well. And John, in his gospel, testifies that Jesus came to his own, but his own didn't receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. His own rejected him. And Jesus then tells the religious leaders, therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. And then when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. And they looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. So Jesus says to these religious leaders, the kingdom's going to be taken away from you. Jesus wasn't giving up on the Jewish people, but he was still calling them to faith, but he's telling them, you're not going to be sole heirs to this kingdom. It's a wider reach. The net is a little bigger and wider than you thought. It's for everyone to come and not just an elite group of people. The kingdom is open. The door is open and the invitation extended to the whole world. And when the leaders heard that, they thought, he's talking about us, that we're the ones that have rejected him. So then Jesus tells this story, and it's in that context that with these guys already angry at him, Jesus tells this parable. Matthew 22, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. And he sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come. So he sends someone, they've already been invited, he sends someone to those who have been invited, hey, come to the banquet, it's time, this is it. But they refuse to come. And then he sends some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited that I've prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and mistreated them and killed them. And the king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited didn't deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes? But the man was speechless. He had no defense. And then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are invited, but few are chosen. Kind of took a weird turn, didn't it, in that story? Gee, it started out with a great banquet, and now we've got weeping and gnashing of teeth. All right, kids, there's your story. Good night, nighty night, sleep time. It's kind of like, what in the world? It's like Grimm's fairy tales. So what's the point of the parable? And so I just want to show you just a couple of key things about this. First of all, notice the repeated invitation. The king invited the guest. He sent him a save the date card, okay? That's what you do now when you're going to get married or some event's coming up. Save the date, and you'll get a real invitation later, but save the date. And so he sent him a save the date. Put this down because there's going to be a wedding banquet. We're all going to celebrate, so they're keeping track of that. And then it's time that morning early, so he sends the servants out. Hey, today's the day. Get ready, man. We've got everything cooking. It's going to be great. We got oxen. I don't know. But anyway, we've got that and we've got the fattened cattle. All right? So we're going to have ribs, we're going to have, right? Steak, we're going to have roast, we're going to have brisket, chopped brisket, sliced brisket. We're having everything, right? Huh? Yeah. What? We're having a banquet. It's going to be great. You got to get here, all right? Everybody get here. So he's telling them. And then he says, like, it's on the table. It's what your mom says. No, I'm not saying it again. It's on the table. I can hear my mom's voice right now. We're eating. It's like, okay, do whatever. But the rest of us are sitting down. And so we're going to eat. So they send the word out there. He wanted them to come share in his happiness, to share in blessing his son. But these invited guests ignored the invitation, ignored the servants who came, personally calling them to the banquet, offered some excuses. I gotta go to work, or I'm gonna check some land. What in the world? You know, you just, I remember Dad would say that anytime we were behind somebody driving real slow, you know, like, eh, he's probably out looking for land. Get where you're going, guy. We got to get, you know, we got to get where we're going. Anyway, so I'm just going to check out some land. Finally, it wasn't enough that they just ignored the invitation or that they just insulted the king by kind of boycotting the banquet. They turned violent and they attacked the servants of the king and actually killed the servants. They turned against the king. This was an act of treason because they've turned against the king and killed his servants. And verse 7 says, the king was enraged, sent his army to destroy the ones who killed his servants and to burn their city. And it's unsettling to read that in the parable. And years later, others would look back and say, oh, well, maybe it was speaking prophetically of what happened in Jerusalem in AD 70 when the Romans sacked the city and burned it. I mean, that would be one way to look at it, maybe. But it's just a reminder that justice and judgment ultimately will fall on the enemies of God, those who reject the message of the king. The wicked won't go unpunished forever. But the point you need to see this morning is the relentless invitation. The forgiveness and mercy and grace are extended. The invitation is there to come to the wedding banquet. The judgment came once, but the mercy was available and repeated. The invitation was repeated. They didn't have to suffer judgment. They made a choice to be there. Let me make it plain. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but wants everyone to come to repentance and to be saved. Judgment will come someday, but mercy is available to you today. And again, judgment came once in the story, but mercy was extended multiple times. The invitation was there to come to him. So verse 8, the king tells his servants to go to the street corners and invite them to the banquet. He says, invite anyone you find. And Luke's gospel is more specific. He says, go to the streets and go to the alleys, to the back alleys and streets, and bring in, Luke says, the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Jesus tells another version of this story in Luke 14. Bring in the blind, the crippled, the lame, the poor. And then he says, go to the highways and hedges, not just the urban areas, but go out to the country lanes and the other roads and bring in the strangers and the travelers and the foreigners. In other words, go everywhere to everyone and invite them to come in. Invite everybody to come. It's why they're going to the Philippines or the Teagues are going to Africa or Global University is doing. It's because we want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. You're invited to come to the banquet. And the religious leaders of the day, the Jewish leaders, were offended by the prostitutes and the tax collectors that were coming to John and to Jesus to repent. And they didn't much like this parable either, all right? It was kind of like they kept trying to shrink the invitation down. Well, that's those people. It's just for us. It's just for the Sadducees. Oh, it's just for the Pharisees. Oh, it's just for the Essenes. It gets a little tighter there. Another party, another group that they were more holy. Here, it's for the ultra-Orthodox. It's for this group. And Jesus says, let me tell you a parable. It's for everyone to come. We're blowing the doors off this thing. It's open for everyone to come. And verse 10 says that both the good and the bad were invited. Listen, Jesus' message is for everyone, and I want you to get this. You don't have to get cleaned up before you come to Jesus, right? Go out wherever you find them and tell them to come as they are. Everybody's invited. You don't have to clean up because you can't. Remember when Jesus read from the prophet Isaiah at the beginning of his ministry, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, release from darkness for prisoners, to comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve. And look at the list, the poor, the brokenhearted, the addicted, those who are captives, the prisoners, those who are in jail, who are in prison, those who mourn, who have lost everything, those who grieve, who have suffered death in their family or whatever. He says, I'm sending you to those people because Jesus and his good news have always been about those who desperately need it. The broken and the poor and the outcast and the least and the last. But it's not just for them. It's even good news for the self-righteous and the proud because they can humble themselves. It's for the good and the bad, the up and the down, the up and out, whatever. Everybody can come to Jesus. And if you've been making excuses like some of these invited guests, you know, I've got too much work to do or I need to go look for land or whatever, he says, look, you can come still. Or even if you've been openly hostile and rejecting the message of Jesus and warring against him, the invitation is still there for you. And if you feel like you're one of the outcasts, that you've just never fit ever anywhere that you are, good news, the invitation is for you as well. Those who don't fit, those who don't belong, the good and the bad, it covers us all. Come to Jesus, come to the party, come to the banquet. The invitation is for you. And consider how unprecedented this banquet was. Imagine the most formal setting you can imagine. For me, I just kind of imagine the White House, you know, and so you got to be dressed in tuxedos and ties or whatever and all that. And then instead of, so they're having this big banquet, and then instead of inviting all the Washington insiders and the wealthy and the influential and the billion-dollar donors and all that stuff, then they go to the rescue mission downtown and they bring homeless in and they bring the poor in and they empty out the county jail and they bring all those folk and then they bring the people from the hospitals and they bring all these people in, and that's who the banquet is for. And that was part of the scandal of this parable and the story. Because you see, the poor didn't get invited to banquets of kings, but they do in this story. Hallelujah. And the down and out and the prisoner and the addicted and the ones that are really struggling and with all the brokenness of life, they don't get invited to big balls and parties and all that, but they do in this kingdom. And it's good news for all of us. There's a place for us. But wasn't it an embarrassment for the king? I mean, come on, kind of a scandal. He invites all these sophisticated folk, and then he ends up with these travelers and all these people. And well, don't you imagine that the people that came to the banquet that were actually there were much more grateful than the first bunch of stuffed shirts that got invited and refused to show up? I'm not even sure what a stuffed shirt is, but anyway. I mean, think about it. The rich could eat fattened cattle and delicacies all the time, but not the poor and the prostitutes and the outcast. And there was no doubt more joy experienced and expressed, and more hope and healing and more celebrating done at this wedding banquet than in any other banquet the king had ever given. It may have been a scandal to the self-righteous and to those who refused the invitation, but boy, it was good news for those who showed up. It was good news for the rest of us. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher of the late 1800s, and they translated so many of his sermons. He said this about this parable: "Dear friends, when the Lord saved some of us by his grace, it was no common event. When he brought us great sinners to his feet and washed us and clothed us and fed us and made us his own, it was a wonder to be talked of forever and ever. We will never leave off praising his name throughout eternity." Folks, it's good news what he's done for us. But look at this. While everyone was invited, proper attire was required. Shoes, shirt. Oh, well, it was more than that. So the king notices a guy who's not wearing wedding clothes. Well, how could the poor and those who have just come off the street be expected to have wedding clothes, right? I'm homeless. I've got nothing. And so, well, you're going to have to dress up. What are you talking about? I don't have anything. The only answer could be that the king himself provided the clothing. That was perhaps a robe of some kind, a garment that would cover over the rags and the dirty rags and worn clothing of those newly invited guests. That the king would provide this, and then no one would feel conspicuous or, well, I'm not dressed well enough, or I'm not dressed for this. No, everybody's dressed alike because they put this garment on. They were clothed in the garments of the king because he provides the wedding attire. Understand, everyone is invited to come as you are, but you don't stay as you are because you're going to be dressed in the garments of the king. Folks, that's the good news for us. There's only one way to be properly attired for the wedding banquet in his kingdom, and it's through the repentance of our sin and trusting in Jesus for salvation. It's to put on what we would call the righteousness of Christ. You say, what are you talking about when you say that? Well, what's it mean to be righteous? We use that, we even use it in whatever other expression, like, man, that guy was righteous or whatever. We're just talking about, yeah, something that was upright, that was strong, that had excellence, that was godly somehow or another. Righteousness is the condition of being righteous and godly. Well, Jesus' righteousness is perfect righteousness. He never sinned. There was nothing inappropriate. There was nothing sinful ever in him. He was born without sin. He never sinned. So he's perfectly righteous in every way. But compared to him and his righteousness, the Bible says we've all come short of that. We've all come short of his righteousness. We all fall short in our performance. And the Bible speaks of our righteousness and compares our attempts at being righteous to being like unclean, filthy garments. So the prophet said, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So how are we supposed to be made righteous? How can we ever be right before God? And here's what he says. It's through repenting of our sins and believing in Jesus to save us. So the Bible says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law, apart from our ability to do something right, apart from that, a righteousness from God has been made known to which the law and the prophets have testified and pointed to. The righteousness of God comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Listen, the Bible tells us we can't be justified. We can't be made righteous through our own efforts. We're out here trying to clean up our rags somehow or another. Like, you think that looks okay? Well, there's a giant hole here and one over here, and it stinks like yesterday or whatever. And so, but yeah, I'll shine it up a little bit. And listen, it's never going to get there. Our best stuff is never going to look right somehow or another. But now, apart from our ability to fix anything, comes the righteousness of God through Christ. And Paul says in Romans 3, we are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that comes by Jesus Christ. We're made righteous. We're declared to be righteous when we repent of our sins and make Jesus Savior and Lord. And the Bible goes on to say that God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him and who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. We are justified by his grace. We sing about it. We sing about dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. When we repent of our sins and believe in him, he clothes us in his righteousness. I delight greatly in the Lord, the prophet said. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. Listen, that's why we rejoice. I was a sinner. I was an outcast. I didn't have an invitation to the banquet. But then by the king's great mercy and grace, he extends an invitation to me. But then I don't have appropriate wedding garments. I'm not going to be clean. I'm not going to look right. And he says, I've got the garment for you. I've got what you need. And then God says, look, believe in me. Believe in my son and his gift of salvation, that he took your place and bore your sins, that he died for you. Believe that, and when you do, I'll provide the garment. I'll clothe you with garments of salvation. I'll array you in a robe of righteousness, my righteousness. Not your meager attempts at righteousness, but I'll put the garment on you. I'll make you clean and presentable. I'll give you the wedding garment that you need. I'll give you what you need. Junior, come up here real quick, will you? So we get invited and we're thinking, but I don't know what I'm going to do. You're looking good, man. Why don't you slip my coat on, would you? Here you go. Stick your arm in there. You look pretty good. All right. Yeah. You clean up real nice. Now, here's the deal. He showed up without the right garment. He said, well, I don't know if it's going to fit. No. The good news is God puts his garment on us. It's going to fit. It's going to cover us. All right. It covers. See, we can cover all the old rag. Not that you had on rags. Tell your mom I didn't say you were wearing rags this morning. But that we're covered in his righteousness alone. That's how this is going to work. He puts his garment on us, and then it's like, man, you look good. I love that coat, dude. You're looking good, all right? And it's because of his mercy and grace, not because of anything Junior did, but because of God's mercy and grace, we're clothed in the garments of his righteousness. Amen? I want my coat back. Thank you. Thank you very much. Give him a hand here this morning. Amen. Good job. Good job. In between services, Darren Lee Norman, said, you know, in Cambodia, a lot of times they'll have big public events and everybody's invited or whatever, but, you know, lots of poor or whatever. And so he said, the king provides a shirt for everybody. They'll give them a shirt for this event. And he said, so then in the pictures, everybody's dressed the same. Everybody looks neat and clean. And it actually says on the shirt, a gift of the king. Is that perfect? Folks, get your shirt on today. Get your jacket on, because he's got a wedding garment for you. And written on it, it says, a gift of the king. You can't earn it. You can't make your own. It's a gift of the king. That's the provision that he brings for us. He'll put on that robe of righteousness. Thanks for coming just to help me with my sermon today, Derek. I appreciate that. He extends that invitation to you. We got to wrap this up. But understand, to accept the invitation, that's one thing. But you got to put on the garment of salvation. So notice the personal responsibility of everybody involved. Everybody in this parable had a responsibility. Everybody has a choice to make. No one forced those originally invited. Nobody forced them to ignore or decline the invitation. They made a choice. They exercised their free will. Nobody forced these other people to come to the banquet against their will. They were glad to come to the banquet, but they still had a choice to make, a decision. They had to accept the offer of the king to put on the wedding clothes. They had to put on the right clothes, right? They had to put on that jacket or that shirt. And you understand what I'm telling you today? You have to decide to be clothed in his righteousness. Well, how do I do that? You do what the Bible says to do. You believe in your heart and you repent. You repent of your sin and you trust in Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to give you a new heart and a new life. You call upon him. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus died for us and that God raised him from the dead. Believe that and you'll be saved. I mean, they're all saying the same thing, that we put our dependence and our trust in Jesus. And let me say it again, you have to be, Jesus said to one man, you must be born again. You have to come to faith and to come to life through Jesus. Just being at the banquet wasn't enough. Just showing up at church is not enough. You have to personally trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. You have to put on the wedding garment. And the guest in the parable wasn't dressed in the wedding clothes. The Bible says he was speechless. He didn't have a defense. He didn't have anything to say. Romans 3 says every mouth will be silenced, the whole world held accountable to God. I mean, in a sense, he's saying there'll come a day we'll stand before God and we won't have a defense as to why we ignored or rejected the invitation all those times, why we rebelled against him and refused him, why we said no to his salvation. And the parable ends with this person whom the king addressed as friend. Notice that. He wasn't an enemy. God's not out to harm you. He doesn't want to hurt you. He calls him friend. But the friend has rejected the friendship. He's rejected the relationship. He's rejected the offer, the invitation to be a part of the wedding party. And the guest, he's rejected that grace that was extended to him. And so it ends with him being bound and cast into darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, a picture of judgment and regret and sorrow for sure. And I know when we read this, it kind of raises that question of, people always ask, well, how could a good and gracious God choose to send anybody to hell? How could the king cast anyone out into darkness? And my answer is simply this: it's not what the king wanted, it was the choice the friend made. We make the choice. We're sending ourselves. This was the friend's choice. He chose not to put on the wedding garment that was offered to him. He chose to reject the grace. Those other folks at the beginning of the story, they chose to reject the invitation to come. I've got too many things to do. No thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. And the choice was made. And again, think about the invitations of the king. They repeatedly ignored those invitations. And if you've never responded to that invitation, you've heard a preacher, you've read a book, you watched something online, but you've heard that invitation to come and to repent of your sins and make Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life, and you turned away from that, ask yourself, how many invitations to surrender my life to Jesus have I heard and I've ignored or rejected? How many times? Because this says someday we'll stand before God and we'll be speechless. I had that image of standing before God and we say, just give me one more chance. I just never really understood, and God wouldn't do this, but kind of like, let's go to the video, you know, whatever. And then we look at our lifetime and there's the 7,000 times that we heard it preached to us and proclaimed to us, and the youth pastor cried and talked to us, and a Sunday school teacher said, and if you'll open your heart to Jesus, and we heard some wacky guy on TV, if you're watching today online, thank you, but anyway, and you heard some wacky guy on TV, whatever, but you heard the gospel through it all, or you read a book, or somebody on a college campus handed you a tract, or you came to a book table and stood for a minute, or one night, bored out of your gourd, you opened a Gideon's Bible in a hotel room somewhere, and you read the gospel, and we see it over and over again, and then you realize, oh, wait, You did give me chance after chance after chance, and invitation after invitation, and opportunity after opportunity, and I'm the one who rejected and turned it away. I'm just saying. I remember years ago, I was a teenager preaching a sermon about how difficult it is to get to hell. And every 15-year-old preacher has preached this, but you climb over a mountain of truth and testimony. You climb over the truth of the Word of God as presented, and you climb over the prayers of your parents. You climb over the preaching of your youth pastor or youth sponsors or your children's pastor or your Royal Ranger or missionette leader. You climb over the invitations of all these people. You climb over the invitation of a heavenly Father to come to the banquet and be clothed in His righteousness and be saved. You climb over Jesus. You climb over the cross and an empty tomb. You climb over His sacrifice. Let me say it again. God's not looking for an excuse to send you to hell. He's doing everything He can to stop you. He's trying to prevent you from getting there. You're going to have to fight and claw to get to hell. As long as there's a church, and as long as there's a gospel being preached, as long as there's a missionary, as long as somebody's praying and teaching and proclaiming the good news, there's an invitation for you to come to the banquet. Stop fighting against the invitation and come, because there's life. There is a party going on at the banquet if you'll come to it. Jesus ends the parable with these words: for many are invited, because He sent them out to tell everybody to come, but few are chosen. It's about choice. Everybody's invited, but you have to make the choice, and few accept the invitation. Comparatively few repent of their sins and ask Jesus to save them. Comparatively few make the choice to follow Jesus, but the invitation is extended and the offer is there. And the garment of salvation, that gift of the King, it's there, available to all who will repent and believe. Put on the garment of salvation. Accept His offer. Come to the banquet. And man, let's step into life. Someday we'll stand before, if we can step into the parable, someday we'll stand before the King at the wedding banquet. And He might ask, hey, what right do you have to be here? And we're going to say, you know what? I got no right as far as myself and my own righteousness is concerned. I mean, I was a pretty good person, but I wasn't good enough. But Jesus died on the cross for me and bore my sins, and I believe that. And I ask Him to forgive me and to save me, and He did. And He covered me with His own righteousness, and that's how I can stand before the King clothed in His righteousness alone. And I'm here at your invitation, and I'm clothed in your garment of salvation. It's a gift of the King, it says right here on my shirt. And He's going to say, welcome to the banquet, friends. Come on in. Come on in and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. This is the good news of the gospel for us today. We've been invited to come to the banquet. And if you've never made Jesus the Savior and Lord of your life, I've got great news for you. Right there where you're sitting, right there at home or in a car listening to this, or here this morning, wherever you are, you have an opportunity to open your heart and life to Jesus, to ask Him to come into your heart, to forgive you of your sins, to take that away, and you can accept by faith that gift of His garment of righteousness. You can be clothed in His righteousness, His forgiveness, and His new life today. The choice is yours, and you can make that choice today. I want you to bow your hearts with me, and I'm just gonna pray a prayer with you. I'm not gonna call you down front. I'm not gonna tell you this and then later call you down here. This is it. We're gonna wrap this up in just a second. But I want you to examine your own heart and life today. And I'm doing it this way. I just want you to have the comfort of being able to make this decision right there. This is between you and Jesus and nobody else. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand or anything else, but right there in your heart, in your mind, I want you to examine your life. Have I made a surrender of my life to Jesus? Have I asked Him to forgive my sins and come into my heart and save me and be Lord of my life? Have you ever done that? If you haven't, the invitation is for you. Well, I thought you had to be fill in the blank. No, you don't have to be. Well, I thought you had to go to church. No, it's for anybody. It's for you today. Well, I thought it was just for those kind of people. No, it's for you. It's for you. The invitation is for you. Anyone can come. Anyone can accept Him to be Savior and Lord of our life. Well, what do I do? Believe what we've been talking about this morning, that Jesus was truly the Son of God, and that he was sent to this earth to die as the redeeming sacrifice for our sins. He took your place. The Bible says the soul that sins must die. And we all sinned. Every one of us. There's not a person in here that hadn't sinned. You say, well, I don't like you calling me a sinner. Have you ever done something that was wrong? You ever told a lie? You ever done something that you know before a moral universe would not be considered right? Well, yeah, okay, then you're one of us. You're a human being and you've sinned. And you've come short of that righteousness which is God's perfect righteousness. Well, won't he just excuse that? He provides you the way to have eternal life and forgiveness of sins. It's through the sacrifice of Jesus. Okay, I believe that. I believe that Jesus died and took my place. Sarah read it today from Isaiah 53. The prophet said, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The whipping, the beating that provided peace for us was laid upon him. And by his stripes, we're made whole. We're saved through that. He did that for you. He took your place, bore your punishment. I believe in my heart. Then confess it with your mouth. Then with your words, not mine, but with your words, tell him, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, and you rose again, and you are offering me forgiveness of my sins and eternal life, and today I believe, and today I ask you to come into my heart and save me and give me that new life. I accept your invitation, and I accept that garment of righteousness and salvation. I'm putting it on today by faith. And you receive it. So, Father, I pray right now for folks sitting in this audience or for those watching us online today that we would make that choice and that decision. That from our own heart, we would tell you, Jesus, I believe that you are the sinless Son of God and that you died on the cross. You are an atoning sacrifice, a substitute, because I should have died. I'm the guilty one. I'm the one that sinned. But you died in my place. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and come into my life and forgive me and change my heart, change my life, change my destiny. I say yes to you today. I accept your invitation and I accept that garment of righteousness because I'll never be good enough, but I put that garment of righteousness that you give me, I put that on, a gift of the King. And now, Lord, I can come to the banquet and I can celebrate in your presence, for by faith you make me a child of the King. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. I'm clothed in your righteousness. I'm clothed in your garment of salvation. I've come to the banquet at your invitation, and you make me now a child of the King, a citizen of a new kingdom, and I am forever thankful for it. Folks, that's the good news of the gospel that he provides for us today. And if you prayed any kind of prayer, if you prayed and asked him to come into your heart and life, he does it today. He'll do it today. That's who he is. He welcomes you into his kingdom because he responds to the cry of his children when we ask for his grace, when we ask him to forgive us. He'll do it. Let's stand together this morning. I'm so glad that all are welcome. I want to tell you, I'm glad to be a part of a church where all are welcome. There's no sign at the door. You're going to have to clean up a little bit. Oh, no. Everybody's welcome at his table. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? And we can put on those garments of praise and adoration today to honor the one who forgives our sins and gives us hope and gives us life. Friends, it's the good news of the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is like a king who gave a banquet, and we're part of that banquet party. Here we are, dressed in his righteousness, part of that kingdom. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning and honor to the King and what he's done for us. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into your heart and life, tell somebody about it. Let somebody know the decision you made. Tell one of the pastors, come tell me I prayed that prayer. We want to encourage you and help you. If you're watching today online or whatever day you made that decision, you can email us here at cagtulsa.com. We'd love to hear from you. We want to help you as you walk on in this journey of faith, living for Jesus and trusting him. May the Lord's grace and mercy and peace be upon you. May the fellowship of the Holy Spirit and the good grace of God be yours today. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you as you go. go. We'll see you tonight or next Sunday.